prioritize the issue, but it's useful to read the documentation of the prioritization before you put an issue to, for example, P1. A P1 issue is something where a build breaks, or a whole module does not start within the application, and the whole application isn't useful anymore. The priority 2 is used for a crash. In general, every crash is a P2, and a P3 is can be used for anything else. If you look within the submit page, there's also a link about priorities, so you can directly look up what these priorities are meant for. It is as there are not as much developers on the project, it is very useful to get feedback from the user base, and it is very useful if you look within your mailing lists of your, for example, of your native language projects, and if you find an issue which is still reproducible, then it would be very kind if you can submit an issue for this. And I believe people doing QA on OpenOffice.org know the application a bit more than beginners. Child workspaces. A few years ago, we introduced the usage of child workspaces within the development. Child workspace is nothing else than a copy of the master workspace, and the developer works on this copy, and he checks in his changes onto the child workspace. Finishes his features or bug fixes within the child workspace, then passes the child workspace as ready for QA into the QA team, and then this child workspace is tested, and if there are problems with some bug fixes or with the features, then it's reset to new and it goes back to the developer again. We try to get at least product stability on new features by integrating child workspaces when they are ready to be integrated. These child workspaces, when they come back to the release engineering, they have a new status. Okay. These child workspaces are set to approved by QA. And then the child workspace gets into release engineering. the release engineers do a code review of the integrations which will get into the product, and if they see problems with the integration, then it's set to new. Otherwise, if they accept it, then this child workspace gets a nominated status, and it means it's a nomination for integration, and the child workspace on CVS is merged into the master workspace. So in the past we had most of the child workspaces are currently tested within the Hamburg QA team, and but we had some cases where community was involved, and therefore there's been a URL being set up. It's oomisc.services.openoffice.org, and there within the pub openoffice.org CWS upload directory, there are child workspaces which currently there are child workspaces which came from the community, where the programmers asked for testers, and where QA people from the Sun QA team tested these child workspaces. I think it would be possible to if there's interest to upload child workspaces to this domain, but it wouldn't be possible to upload them all because it's from the space needed. It would be far too much to have it uploadable. So if you were interested into testing on child workspaces, then it would be good if you put a mail into the QA mailing list.
Yeah. CVS for integration from a QA point of view.
That,
and the answer was yes, there are criteria, but they are not well documented.
Yeah.
Anybody working on this?
At least, a child workspace is tested by hand.
Yeah.
If there's a feature, then the specification for that feature needs to be tested, and around that feature, all the areas must be tested, and additionally, at least the first test and the top 10 test from the test tool environment should be run to assure that the application itself does not crash anywhere. And depending on the child workspace context, other tests are needed as well. If there's something within the writer component, the writer update test should be run. If there's something within the calc component, the calc update test should be run. If there's a change within file formats, then the import export and file operations tests need to be run, and in this case it's the tester needs some experience what tests are for which purpose. Yeah.
And it could be answered at the mailing list what tests should be run.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't involve any code review of the actual code.
The code review will be taken every time, because the child workspace goes back to the integrators. To the release team.
But the client doesn't have the code. Or is it part of the job?
For the tester, not. 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 It's been done by the release team who integrates the sources. And yeah. The child workspace is set to ready for QA, then usually a QA owner is being set within the ICE tool, and the owner of that module gets knowledge about that it's set to ready for QA, and in this case he can start to test each issue within the child workspace and starts his tests of the child workspace. Here at ice.services.openoffice.org there is a tool where you can have a look at all child workspaces which are integrated into the master, or which are set to ready for QA, or which have new level, and you can gather the status of these child workspaces. You get information about the target set of the target which has been set of this child workspace. This ICE has a guest logon, so everyone interested can have a look at it. It's quite useful to have a look using if you are looking for a child workspace which has been integrated into a build. Where you know the build ID or the build name, for example, for openoffice.org 2.0RC, it is 000680M1. The build name is written within the bootstrap RC file in the program directory, for example, or if you go into the about dialogue in help about and press control SDT. The SDT is something which is left from the old star division team. The first thing which you get is the version number of that build, including the build ID, and with that information you can have a look into the ICE tool to get information about which child workspaces have been integrated into this build. And if you look into the child workspaces, you see a list of changes on CVS. You see information about You can have a look at the issues itself, and okay. As I already talked about was that child workspace has different starti. It begins with the planned status. Then a child workspace is set to new. Then the developer works on the child workspace, includes his bug fixes or includes his new features. Then the developer sets the child workspace to ready for QA. Then QA and testing of all the issues which are attached to this child workspace have to be checked, verified. After that, the child workspace is set to approved by QA, and then one thing is missing. It's the nominated status. Then if it's approved, then it is nominated if the changes within the child workspace do not break anything within the master workspace. And then it has the last status, it's integrated. Okay. I talked about this before. Okay. Yeah, about automation on openoffice.org. There are two types of automation. The first one is the API-based automation. It is more a source code-oriented automation type, where all parts of the API are tested, and it is quite useful to have knowledge about programming if you want to do API testing. But if you just want to run these tests, it's not really necessary. There are scripts for C, C++, Java, Python, or BASIC, and it's up to you what you like to do. And if you want to do more UI-centric testing, then we have the test tool. This test tool uses scripts which are written in BASIC, in a type of BASIC. This test tool is able to select all the GUI items within the application. You can read the status of a dialog, get feedback, and these tests, the test tool itself gives feedback about the status of the test run. It gives you, for example, warnings and errors. Yeah. We have the error reporting tool introduced into openoffice.org 1.1. Within the 2.0 build, it has been married with the document auto recovery. Within the same dialog. And the crash reporting application selects a call stack of the running application in the time the application crashes. It is usually something which is done by a debugger, but there are there are functions to get this information within a running application, and so we implemented the crash reporting tool. It additionally includes information about the language, the operating system, the build ID. If the user wants to get feedback, or if he wants to get contacted, it's a privacy flag. If it's not set, then nothing else will get to the crash reporting infrastructure, which we host within Sun. This has a reason, because the crash reporting data is something where people have a privacy concern, and we need to take care about that the data isn't published. And on the other hand, if you want to get if you want to select your own crash reporting data, the SOAP interface is documented on the porting project site to get it to get an own implementation. For example, if you want to collect crash reports of your own build, then that would be a way to go. If you're interested into the crash itself, then just open the crash reporting tool and press the preview button. Within the preview, you see the call stack. You see checksum information about the libraries affected, and you see within an XML part the system information which is needed to have the information where the crash happened, what kind of system it is, if it is which locale it has, mainly to get knowledge about details from this crash and not about the user itself. Yeah?
I built my own version of PokemonSR, and my version crashes. Are these reports useful as well, or?
This, if you build it by yourself, it wouldn't be very helpful, because to get more information about the crash, it would be needed to have the builds to get debug information from the crash to directly step into the source code to fix the problem. I really don't know. That might be something which should be discussed on the porting project. That's the crash reporting functionality has been put into the porting project because it's one of those features which is which needs porting effort if you want to implement it on another platform. This is quite low within the system to get a call stack. And yeah, okay. Yeah?
What should we do when a surface is going out of control? I mean, 100% CPU consumption
and then I put the new event comes up.
The error reporter does not come up, or if it does not come up. Yeah, it's not,
and we have that GDB or something that
As on the call stack, there are the latest functions, which are being done by the application. I don't know if it might help to send a segmentation violation signal to the application. Perhaps, but the developer need, in this case, the developer needs to know that you shot this application with a segmentation violation signal. On Linux system, you can kill minus zecv the program process ID, and then the application gets the signal that there is a segmentation violation, and in this case the crash reporter would start, and if you get in contact with the developer, I would ask the developer if it would help him. I would not do it all the time. Some operating systems allow the creation of a call stack from system level. In this case, you would not shoot the application down, like on Solaris, and as far as I know, it's also available on Linux. It's the pstack command to get a snapshot of the current call stack, including all threads. Yeah, now I have some statistics about the work of the QA project. As you can see here, the unconfirmed rate is quite low. Last year when I presented this data, we were at break even, at the break even point with the relation of confirmed and unconfirmed data, but it is always needed to get the unconfirmed rate near null. Because daily there are issues written for the application, and it is really a high amount of data which needs to be read by developers and QA people. And as I already said, there are not as much developers to read all the content. It is really helpful for the developers if issues are canalized, pre-selected, and what is more important, if it's reproduced. So as you see, the confirmed rate of issues went up, and the unconfirmed issue is about 200 during this time here. We had the start of the beta, the first builds and the start of the beta, where the unconfirmed rate was much higher. And now as the release candidate builds or the more stable builds like the beta 2 and newer builds like the SRC M130, for example, the rate goes up because more people download the application and really a lot of people file new issues, and I believe a lot of those issues are not really bugs. There are a lot of issues where people try to get support using the tool issue tracker, and if you see such an issue, please try not to be rude to the people. There were several users really upset when they got messages back to them, and please be kind. Okay. The usage of the OOOQA keyword is an indicator how many issues have been worked on by the QA project. Regarding all the issues which have been filed, the right side is what we had last year, and the left side is what we have this year. As you can see, there were about 3,000, 3,500 issues where the QA set the OOQA keyword within the last year. It's a good number. It can be more. And regarding the open issues, like issues where the QA set the confirmed issues and this issue are set to new, there are about 600 issues, this is quite a good number, within this graph you can see how many issues have been worked on by QA. This would be very useful to remember setting the OOQA keyword if you're working on issues. Yeah, the unconfirmed issues where the OOQA keyword is set. These are mostly issues where a QA member asks for more information, and such issues should be looked at again to get confirmation or to close it if the user who filed that issue gives no information about it, and you see that the issue isn't reproducible. If you close an issue, then it would be helpful to put an information into the issue that you ask the user to reopen the issue if he has more information about this issue, and if it still is reproducible within a current build. In this case, it's up to the submitter to react, and it's useful for the team, for the QA team and for the development to not to collect issues which where nobody can do anything with it. Yeah, there's still quite an amount of issues where the OOQA keyword has not been set, and as the number of issues arise, it's quite important to get such a number down. We have currently about 8,000 issues where the new and unconfirmed, where the status is new or unconfirmed, and where OOQA was not involved. And the unconfirmed rate is about 500. These numbers were taken last week. Here's a statistic about the total of the issues submitted within the last week, with the time frame of 1 year. So there are many points, many segments, and this graph shows the workload of issues which have been fixed, and the number of the incoming issues. And as you see here, this was at the time when the first beta started. Where a lot of people filed issues, and where the developers had to fix a lot of issues, to stabilize the build. And now the number has been is down again, and and the product is within release candidate status. The number of the total number of fixed issues currently is about 2,050. You can divide it from the other point, and you see the number of issues which have been fixed within the last year. And you see, over the year, the number of issues, the number of fixed issues is quite constant. but the number of new issues arises, and there needs to be some work on new issues, on unconfirmed issues, to get them reproduce, yeah. Okay. Last year, on the openoffice.org conference in Berlin, I asked for collaboration with the L10N teams, with the localizations, to do localization testing. And in the meantime, there are several localization teams doing QA tests, and the localization team has a test framework based on test tool and manual tests. This is called TCM. There is a URL within the QA project. It's within the localized directory of the QA team, and if you're interested into doing localization tests, then it would help to ask within the L10N mailing list if to do such tests, and to have a look at the QA homepage. Okay. I'm finished. If you have questions, then please ask. Yeah? Laurent? I don't really know if it is possible. These tools which you created, like the dict-OOO and the font-OOO.
Yes, I mean from Markov, but also coming as like the items or Java items and the newspaper.
Yeah. I don't know. I would ask within the API team if it is possible to get API test scripts to get a status back from the components which you wrote. Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
And then you use it for testing and localized versions as well.
Yeah. And regarding the localizations, the tests are really useful because if you build a new version containing the resource files of a localization, then all these resources must be called, and if there's something wrong, then the application would crash, and in this case the test tool automation would really help, because it can pick up every dialogue at every location, and it can assure that the application doesn't crash. Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Okay.
I just
just like to say that after this lecture, there's supposed to be a round table here because we would like to do a live stream. The round table will be at the MKSA, where the developer track is. And lecture is normally